Time for our next edition of the season countdown. Time to talk all things Queenscliff. An 8th place finish for the Cougars last year. 4-14 was their win-loss record. Their coach, Steve Clark, has been doing it for a heck of a long time. Otis, is it 2000 your first year in charge at Queenscliff?
Yeah, I think it was, King.
21 years of coach. Well 20. Yeah. Is this your 20? I think you had 1 year off between.
1 year off in 2010 when the Pies won the flag, so it wasn't a bad year to have off.
So this is your 20th year in charge
of
a footy club.
Yep.
How much longer can you keep going is
the
question.
Oh, I haven't thought about it. It's been a 1 year process, I reckon, for the last 19.
So you've got, this is the last year of a handshake deal. It was always probably going to be 3 years, but, so you haven't had any thoughts beyond this year? We're going straight to the hard questions early.
No, when I first came back and spoke to Jimmy, you obviously put something in place, but it was never ever set in stone. And it was just, we'll talk about it at the end of the year, what's best for everyone.
All right, last year, tough year. You used 46 senior players. I think you used the most of any club in the Bellarine. Basically, if you would have used those 46 blokes on the one weekend, blokes would actually miss out in the twos. That's how many players you used. You surely can't have that run of bad luck like you had last year again, can you?
No, I've never seen that before. And it was just, it wasn't conditioning. It was just freakish injuries and so forth. So I think the 84 went through the 12 o'clock team as well. So you combine those two and it was just amazing to see. Like I'd be talking to blokes in regards on a Thursday night about, they may have made the 2 o'clock team and they'll go back down, and then within 5 minutes I was going back to them saying, you know what I just spoke to you about, just forget it, you're in. So it was almost sort of set the tone pre-season. We lost a couple of coaches in November, so our forward line and back line coach both got employment that made them travel. And then we obviously, the unfortunate thing with Niv, which was heartbreaking for the netball club. So it just seemed to roll on all year. It was just one of those years.
Did you know early you were behind the eight ball and it was going to be a tough year?
Yeah, probably you just hope. Experience tells you, I didn't speak about it out loud, but you sort of know, get the feel for it. But it was hard with the coaches going, so you're bringing new coaches in and trying to teach them the game plan as well, which, and then they've got to relay it to the boys. So when you've got so many new blokes playing and coming through pre-season, it was just going to be tough from the start. I knew we start slow, but I expected we'd come home a bit harder, but we just weren't able to get any traction.
Yep. You only had two players play every game last year, Shay Darren and Nathan Monk. The other area that was of concern was your ability to kick goals. I think you only passed 70 points on 5 occasions, and 2 of those were against Port Arlington, who obviously had a tough year. Is that an area you've tried to address over pre-season, the ability to be able to score more?
Yeah, definitely. So that's something that we've spoken about, and I suppose the beauty, or not the beauty, but when we realised we couldn't play finals and we weren't going to qualify for that, everything turned towards this year and having a look at blokes in different positions and how that we might shape up, which gives us a good opportunity to look at our recruiting philosophy going forward. So, we get Braden Warren back. We missed him last year, so he was away. He's
played
back
one game?
Yeah, so he came home to fill in for us. So even though he never got cleared to play anywhere else, he stayed on the list and didn't play, but he came back to help us out a couple of times. So he's going to strengthen that area. And then obviously with the boys that we've been able to recruit in, we're going to run fairly thick through our list in regards to the combinations we can put down there.
All right. Let's talk about some of the recruits you've come in. And I'm interested in the Bakers from Gisborne, who have both played football at a high level, I believe.
Yeah, so they've been rippers. The three boys that come from Gisborne, so Ryan and Jack Baker. So they're both triathletes that are now both qualified for the World Championships in New Zealand in November. So they've played some high-end footy, and they're just ripper fellas to have around the footy club. They've been terrific, and they'll feel key post. And it's clear that they know how to play footy. And Sean is a little bit older. His grandparents are Billy and Peg Comerford, so are well known. His parents live down here, so it's terrific that he's been able to get down here. And he's a class class act, both playing and as a person around the footy club. So those three boys are going to be terrific for us.
Yep. You've tapped into a bit of a St. Joseph's connection, not necessarily coming directly from St. Joseph's, but Paul Dreyer obviously coming from Joey's, who's, a two-time premiership player under Heath Jamieson. And then you throw in Sean Holroyd, who obviously a Joey's name, but been at Lawn. Sam Coots, I think, from Joey's, been at Uni Blues. So you bring a few guys in like that that have got some experience at higher levels as well.
Yeah, so it's not really designed from the Joey's connections. It hasn't been from anything other than Paul Dreyer's got family down here.
Yep.
So that was a straight connection. Sean Holroyd has been. So there was a whole host of, there's four or five of the boys that were all good mates.
Yep.
So Sean, Nick Mashman, Sam Coote, so they all come together down with a couple of local boys that were down here. They all wanted to play together, so that's how that happened. And obviously, Jake Lindray was originally Queenscliff, so
yep.
It wasn't by design or any connection whatsoever between the two clubs. It's just been more family and mates.
Yep. How different will your 22 round one look to the 22 that ran out in round 18 last year?
Yeah, a lot. I actually went through some rotations the other day on a program that we used just to start to have a look at that and how that'll play out. And the rotation sheet come up from round 18 last year, and it was a whole lot different. Yeah, so it'll be plenty different.
Okay. Your two boys, I think, played round 18 last year, Billy and Jai.
Yeah.
I think Billy played two games in the end, Jai just that one senior game to round out the season. What's their focus with their footy this year in terms of what level they'll play at? I'm guessing Jai, you know, he's, 16 this year, is that right?
Turned 16 in July, yeah. So
eligible for under-17s.
Yep.
Obviously not out in at the Falcons yet, but hopefully that comes for him. Are you happy to expose him to more senior footy this year?
We'll just see how he plays out with that one. He's obviously down at the under-16 Falcons at the moment, so that ends on April the 3rd. So then he comes back to us, so he'll start as an under-17 player and we'll just see how that works out for him.
Yep.
in regards. It was more last year, I didn't look at it as potentially the start of his senior career. It was more giving him a look at where it was, and he'd just come back from the Vic stuff. And the opportunity there was to play a few kids, so we did that looking forward. And then, so we'll see where he sits. And then Billy's still under 19, so he's top age under 19. So he played the two games, and he's done all pre-season with us, with the senior squad. So he'll play pracky matches, and then it'll pan out from there.
Yep. Outs, minimal outs, but a bit of quality amongst them. Cam Burnside off to Thompson. Mitch Donnelly departing the club after only 1 year, and Jack Exel the same. He's going to play at Murrumbina. But Daniel Dewar's name has come up. Some of us thought that he might be done with his footy. His body's obviously copped a battering over the last 10 to 12 years of senior footy that he's played, but he's going to play in Melbourne.
Yeah, so Frenchy, it was a bit of work for him to play last year, so he was thinking about pulling the pin and retiring last year. So only knowing him, being back the 2 years, he came off the knee reco, and then he copped the first year back. He copped, just getting back into it and looking good, and he copped a freakish broken toe that took a bit to get going. So he was thinking about finishing. He's working out at Bannockburn. He was talking about going living in Melbourne. So he decided on the back of the first year that we'd give it another go, the next one, because things were looking pretty good. And then he just copped a couple of hamstrings and he couldn't get to training a lot.
Yeah.
But he got himself in good shape and he was just a bit stiff. He copped two hamstrings. He just coming back, he was right from one, and he copped another one that took him 6 weeks. So he said he was done, but potentially, you know, he'll go up there and play with a couple of mates and try and finish off. And it changes. Change might be the thing he requires just to fall back in love with the game, maybe.
Yep. Just another in I want to ask you about, and he's not really an in to the club because he's never really left, but and I think I know you know who I'm going to ask about here, and he's probably one of my favourite Bellarine players, and he's got some ability, the kid, we just haven't seen it, is Brock Thompson, and I understand he's been doing pre-season. I understand he's dropped a bit of weight and he's putting himself in the frame to hopefully play some senior footy.
Yeah, so Brocky will be a huge recruit back for us. So he came back last year to help out at 12 o'clock, so he's come off his shoulder, which was he'd had an operation, a bit of trouble with. So he came back to do that. So that's the offset of having the injuries last year, a lot of guys come back to the club that may have thought, oh, it's getting a bit hard to get back into footy, I'll go another way. So they come back and it was great having them back, and they've stayed and played.
Fallen back in love with Queenscliff.
Yeah, so that's been really good. But so Brock still lives in Melbourne and he's been doing a lot of work and dropped a lot of weight. So he's talking about potentially moving back to Geelong. So it might work that he moves back to Geelong, and he's really keen to give it a good crack this year. So he's another one that's just, as you say, he's never left the club, but he's going to be a great recruit.
Yep. Tom Lim, every year we think, oh, is this it for Tom? But I understand that he is in possibly the best shape of his career, even at age 32, 33.
Yeah, so Tom's got back. I think for him to have another crack at it, he thought, well, because it's just getting a bit harder at home for him with little kids and getting a training commitment. So I think he's just thought, well, if I'm going to give it a good crack, I'm going to get in a good shape. So I heard him saying the other night that he's back at his playing weight that he was when he was down at North Ballarat. So he looks terrific getting around the track and certainly dropped a bit of weight and moving quite well.
How do you use him? Because you can either run him through the midfield or he can become a bit of a Luke Hodge-style general off half-back.
Yeah, so he played through the midfield a bit last year and then trying to look after him a bit and obviously looking at other guys coming through the midfield. So we played him off half-back. And he had a really good run home in the back bit of the season playing off there. But we also played him forward last year as well. So he can play anywhere at either end of the ground and come through the midfield, in particular now the shape that he's in. So he's a, we can play him anywhere.
Luke Orvis, will he play?
At the moment he's struggling to play. So hopefully he's able to get back out there. But at the moment he even struggles with it at work. So he's coaching the under-19s now, so we'll just have to play that one by ear.
Be a sad way if his career ends the way it has over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it'd be shocking. And I think,
considering he barely missed a game in 10 years.
Nah, yeah, that's right. So whether we've got to look at the position he plays, like we did playing forward last year when he came back, and he obviously had a fair bit of impact in the games that he played down there. So it's just a matter of him being comfortable and it's not affecting his life away from footy. So we're just basically, my frame of mind is just to let him come at his own pace.
Yep. Your first four, Drysdale, Ammos, Barwon Heads and Newcombe. I suppose every game's a test in the Ballerine. Is this, you've been around Ballerine footy for 35, 40 years.
Yep.
Is this the most even you've seen the Ballerine going into a season where you probably look at it and go, aside from probably Port Arlington, I've got a bit of work to do, nine clubs are going to make life difficult for each other this year?
Yeah, I was only having that conversation the other day with someone just in regards to the players that have come into the Ballerine as well now, with the GFL getting so much more professional, it seems that there's a few guys rolling back out. Mm. And there's just quality in every team. Like, the competition's obviously got better, and it is so even. And even with Port now, obviously with their recruiting off the ground, they're in ripper shape with those guys doing what they're doing. So the wheel might not be that far from turning from those guys. So if it keeps going the way it's going, it'll be a ripper competition.
I was going to say, you might not want to go down to Port Arlington in the middle of the year on a cold, wet, miserable day and turn up half-hearted, because they will get somebody.
100%, they'll get someone. And if they get the crowd out there that have been obviously so loyal over time, and the front of the grandstand gets up and running, who knows?
You mentioned Lucas Niven before, and it's coming up 18 months since Lucas's sad passing, but from that has come some good, and I'm going to talk about the calendar, and the boys got their kit off. I believe it sold several hundred copies, and it might have even gone into a second print run.
Yeah, it did, and look, the boys have been terrific with that. So when at first, like, Jake Healy, I think, got mentioned it straight up and thought, well, we'll do that for a bit of a fundraiser, and it just grew legs really quickly. And look, the boys have been terrific. They even had orders come on their Facebook page or wherever they were selling them from.
Yep.
In regards to people ordering on the other side of the country.
Yep.
So they've done a terrific job sitting down out the front of Marcus, the main street, and just getting that awareness out there. They've been enormous with the way that they've carried themselves and what they've done there. It's been terrific.
Yeah. I haven't seen the calendar, but is there one of you with the extra size coaches board just hiding things?
No, mate. It's, they did want a couple of coaches put it out there, but we weren't going to stifle the first year of Salon and getting out there. We might have stifled that. So, no.
Do you reckon it'll become a regular thing, or is it something that Jake and the boys are looking to continue on with?
It could do. Like, the calendar's been... There's been a couple of calendars. Back in my day playing, we done a calendar. It wasn't the one that was done there, but it had been done back in the auction nights when clubs used to have auction nights. They used to do one calendar and auction it off. And I'm of the understanding the boys had done another one at some point along. So why not? If it gets the awareness out there and we can donate the money and raise money for the charity, well, I'd say they'll go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, maybe. Yes, maybe they can get you involved next year.
You never know. I've got 12 months to try and...
you can be Mr. December.
So here we go.
Otis, really appreciate you coming in. Always great to talk footy with you, and we wish you the best of luck for season 2020, and fingers crossed for those who follow local footy, it's not your last in charge down at the Coota Bowl.
So here we go. Thanks for having us, Kingy.
Steve Clark, the coach of Queenscliff, joining us here on the season countdown. We move on next. We're going to talk all things Geelong West GDFL with Mitch White and Andrew Clark.